I'm Carmen.
Tony, yeah. Let's see here.
With Federal Highway Administration's Ohio Division Office. I'm a planning and environment specialist. And I want to thank everybody for having me here tonight. I want to provide an overview of the AMATS 2021 TMA certification review process. So the Metropolitan Planning Organization, AMATS, its member organizations, leadership and staff are responsible for ensuring that the citizens of the Akron have their interests and concerns taken into account in the transportation planning process in order to develop the best transportation system for the area. So in these extraordinary times, it is really important that the MPO staff ensure transparency and accountability to us, the federal review team, your member governments and agencies, but more important to the public. They have to ensure that the planning process is efficient, productive, responsive, and innovative. We've talked a lot about that today. And so I would like to take a quick moment to thank Curtis Baker, Carrie, and all the AMAT staff for all their help with coordination and with the virtual side of things, like this meeting tonight. So, can somebody flip my slide?
Yep.
Okay. So, what is a TMA certification review? It's kind of like the Olympics for planning agencies. So, every 4 years, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation must certify that each metropolitan planning organization, like AMETS, serving a transportation management area, or TMA, is an urbanized area with a population over 200,000 in population, is carrying out the metropolitan planning process in accordance with federal statutes and regulations. FTA, Federal Transit Administration, and Federal Highway Administration jointly conduct a review of the metropolitan planning process within each TMA. Then they jointly issue a certification on behalf of the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. Okay, next. So what do we look at during the review? The review focuses on compliance with federal regulations. We also want to know about any challenges, successes, and experiences of the cooperative relationship between AMATS, ODOT, public transit operators, Metro, RTA, and PARTA, as they conduct the metropolitan transportation planning process. Next. So what's the outcome of the review? First, the review consists of three primary activities. We review the planning documents in a desk or an audit. We have a site visit like we are conducting today and tomorrow. And then we prepare the certification review report. The report will be issued in approximately 60 days from tomorrow, and it summarizes the process and findings of the review, as well as if the process is certified subject to corrective actions, certified for use of only certain construction funding categories. You are not getting either of the second two. The good news is. Next. So the findings can be corrective actions, recommendations, or commendations. A corrective action, of which you will have none, are items that fail to meet the requirements of the transportation statute and regulations and could seriously impact the outcome of the overall process. The expected change and timeline for accomplishing it are to be clearly defined. Recommendations are items that, while somewhat less substantial and they're not regulatory, are still significant enough that FHWA and FTA are hopeful that appropriate TMA planning partners will consider taking action on them. Recommendations involve the state of the practice or technical improvements, as opposed to solely being based on regulatory requirements, and the suggestions are clearly defined by us. Then there are commendations. These are noteworthy practices, elements that demonstrate innovative, highly effective, well thought out, implementation procedures of the planning requirements. Elements addressing items that have frequently posed problems nationwide could be cited as noteworthy practices. Also, FHWA and FTA may wish to offer commendations for significant improvements and/or resolution of past findings. next. So, the federal review team this time around. I'm Carmen Steeman. I'm the lead for the federal review team. Mark Kane is the co-lead from Federal Transit Administration Region 5. Rachel Smith with our FHWA Ohio Division Office, and Andy Johns, FHWA Ohio Division Office. We also have a new planner that is sitting in observing. Her name is Valijah Southern. So the schedule of the review, February and March, we conducted the desktop review. Today and tomorrow are our on-site visit meetings. Tonight is the public involvement meeting, which is virtual. And then expect the report and certification letter in May of this year. We will also be available to do a presentation to the policy board at your convenience. AMATS has established a comment portal on their website at amats@akronohio.gov. And the public comment period will go through April 6th. Next. And that's it. So there's my information and Mark's information. And then you can also provide comments at the link to the AMATS website. So does anybody have any questions for me?
Ms. Stamen?
Pardon me?
Ms. Stamen, I do have one question. We made a point of including your, Mr. Kane's, contact information in our round of ads promoting this public comment period. I was just wondering, have you folks received any response to that yet?
No.
Nothing yet? Okay. All right, thank you.
That I am aware of. I'm trying to see if Mark's on.
Yeah, he's on.
Okay. Mark, have you received any comments?
I have not.
Okay. All right. I can say that this morning went really well, and this afternoon. I thought we had a lot of very productive discussions, especially concerning the national health emergency we've been in since last year. I think that I'll speak for the federal review team that AMATS has not only conducted the planning process well, but it has also adapted and been accommodating to the different circumstances that we've been facing since last March. So thank you. Your staff has been just terrific in responding to our questions and comments and inquiries and detailing probes for information. So thank you all. Curtis, you have a terrific staff, you guys are doing a good job.
Great. Well, I appreciate it. And I guess, Carmen, you know, with only three people here, because Trevor Hunt's joined us as well. He's the planning director for the city of Barberton. You know, I can either jump into my presentation or, hey, Trevor, jump into my short presentation, or I don't know if we want to kind of pause and just see if there's any comments about our process or just hold it to the end.
Well, the one thing to keep in mind is, like we talked about earlier, if somebody can't make it and would like to see the presentation, maybe we just go ahead with what you had planned.
Yes.
And then we'll see what time's left and open it up for any questions.
Okay. Perfect.
And also because we have the ability for people to put questions into the chat pod.
Yes, yes. So if anything comes up while I'm presenting, feel free to give a chat. And Bill, I apologize because some of this is from our CIC meeting a couple weeks ago, but I don't think Trevor or Tony have seen anything like kind of in this level of detail. So I'm going to share my PowerPoint screen. So yeah, as Carmen said, you know, this is a federal certification is something that we get to look forward to every 4 years. It really is, I always look at it as an opportunity. You know, we try to stay on the forefront of things and try to, you know, stay on the cutting edge in terms of what's going on, but it really is nice to have that constructive criticism of ways that we can improve our program and ways that we can improve our processes to really serve the region a lot better. And so I thank Carmen and Mark and the rest of the FTA and Federal Highway team, just because it is always a benefit, and it's something that we do only for every 4 years, but it's always really very beneficial to us. So what I wanted to do today was just kind of overview really quickly the AMAT's planning process. And then because I've got a captive audience, I thought I would just go into a little bit of our draft Transportation Outlook 2045, which is our long-range plan, which is typically, as I was saying earlier today, it's the beginning and the end of our planning process. The plan is the culmination of what we do, and then it's also the springboard for the next 4 years. So it's always exciting when we get to the point where we're rolling out a plan. So as I said, it kind of begins and ends with the plan. And during that four-year period, AMATS is doing a lot of work. We're analyzing the transportation system, regional demographics, and really looking at trends that shape the future. And as Carmen alluded to, you know, those trends were really thrown for a loop during the pandemic, the severe shutdown last March, the impacts that it had on transportation worldwide, but also locally here in the greater Akron area. And then throughout this whole time, too, we've, you know, pre-pandemic and post-pandemic been trying to engage with the public through our multiple initiatives that we have. So, you know, some of the major work products that we've completed over the last 4 years include our 2045 planning data forecast, which is our regional demographic analysis, our congestion management plan, which looks at congestion throughout the region, our yearly traffic crash reports that analyze crashes for not only vehicles, but for bicycles and pedestrian crashes as well, active transportation plan, freight plan, a transit plan, transportation preservation plan, and really one of the first things we get started with is our public participation plan as well. And all these things are part of that four-year process where we are analyzing our system, developing our planning processes, and preparing for approval of a long-range plan. And the other side of that, as we're doing all this analysis and all these activities, is the AMATS engagement side. And as you can see sort of from the picture up top of us all in Zoom at a Zoom meeting, it kind of makes me chuckle just because it's been quite the year and very different from our standard typical policy meetings and TAC meetings. But I think we've adapted really well. We have 6 standing CIC meetings per year. Bill Mackey is, you know, who's here tonight, is a standard bearer for our CIC, and we always appreciate his participation. We've done Better Block events, did a Better Block event in North Hill, did one in Copley where we were able to engage with the public. Over the years, we did 8 bike and brainstorms developing our plan. We did a Move with the Mayor program that also was encouraging mayors to go out and ride and encourage citizens to ride with them. Jane's Walk for Jane Jacobs. It's a walk where you have community walks to discuss things and important planning items. And then we did our temporary speed table pilot program where, you know, we worked with the city of Akron to fund some speed tables and then did a pretty robust analysis on seeing how they impacted the roadway, how did they reduce speeds as a treatment to do better traffic calming in our urban areas. So it's just an example of some of the engagement that we do, and really that and the planning gets us to the point of the long-range plan. And so our long-range plan, as I think all three of you have been, you know, briefed on at some point this year already, in our March meetings, it's completed every 4 years. It contains fiscally constrained project recommendations, and the projects that are in the plan or consistent with the plan are eligible for federal funds. And so really, the plan sort of, one, it sort of sets out the long-range future, but also lays the pathwork for the projects that we're going to be funding in the next 4 years as well. So it's a very critical document in the work that we do. And just to overview, there's about $7.7 billion of recommendations between now and 2045. The recommendations for the highway system, for bicycle and pedestrians, and for the transit systems. And again, as I mentioned, it has to be fiscally constrained, meaning that we have to prove that we have the revenues to fund what's in the recommended in the plan. Some of the really notable projects that we're working on and have been under development is, as a lot of you know, the State Route 8 bridge replacement, over $100 million over the valley. This is a huge project that we're, you know, all I think can't wait to actually see it take place and see how they're going to do it. It's going to be a really, I think, a marvel of engineering to watch it happen. The I-77 North widening from Gent Road to I-80 Turnpike is our one really capacity-adding project in the plan for the interstates. Some of the focus areas for our locals are Arlington Road Corridor and Akron. Barney's Busy Corners, as those Cuyahoga Falls representatives are well aware of, with that shares an area with the Falls and Akron and Talmadge. State Route 261 from Cherry Street to State Route 59, that's looking at taking a piece of roadway that was designed as a limited access highway, that the highway was never completed, and now we're looking at potentially vacating half of that limited access right-of-way and building a new road on the other half that would be more appropriately sized and using the other portion that's vacated for pedestrian and bicycle recreation. It's a very interesting, unique project. From a bicycle and pedestrian perspective, Veterans Trail, the Akron Secondary Trail that goes basically from Hudson all the way to Akron and potentially connecting into the towpath. The Rubber City Heritage Trail that uses an old Akron trolley line to go from Goodyear all the way to the towpath. And then in our plan includes for Metro RTA, bus rapid transit recommendations, as well as the part of looking at microtransit options for some of their more suburban areas of service. So for the highway recommendations, just to highlight a few things, you know, we're prioritizing, as usual, preservation in our plan. Devoting over $4.7 billion to projects that fix it first. Safety and operational projects are considered consistent with the plan, and we set out a certain amount of funding that's available for those types of projects. And then one of the things that we're trying to develop this year and we'll develop over the course of this next planning process is a signal timing optimization program. We want to help communities that, say, have coordinated signals but haven't had the resources to, say, time them correctly or maintain them appropriately to provide some funds to possibly be able to do that, especially in areas that would lead to some regional benefits when it comes to some of the spot congestion that we see in the region. For the bicycle and pedestrian recommendations, recommending about $35 million for those projects. We're also recommending, you know, that communities consider complete streets, safe routes to schools programs, and road diets where appropriate. The AMATS Active Transportation Plan had a goal of trying to get all of our school districts in our two counties, or two and a little bit of a third county, to adopt safe routes to schools plans. So we think that that's really important, school districts, you know, creating the opportunity for people to still be, or for kids to be able to walk safely and ride their bikes to and from school. Transit, we had about $2.4 billion in investment. Fix it first is the name of the game in terms of, again, what we're trying to do. As I mentioned, bus rapid transit, micro transit, coordination, especially cross-county coordination is very important. And then looking at transit-oriented development and joint development, four corridors that we think would be appropriate for more expanded bus service like bus rapid transit. So for the plan, our public comment period, as you know, we had a March 18th Zoom meeting for CIC. We have another plan meeting set up for April 29th, also to go through the plan. Our comment period, though, is open through May 12th, between now and May 12th, and we're looking for approval of that document May 20th, 2021, at our policy committee. So really with that, you know, again, as Carmen said, you know, while this is really about our planning process, it seems fitting to sort of end on, you know, kind of making a plug for our draft plan, for getting that word out there and getting more eyes on it and comments as we look to finalize that and codify it at our May meetings. And again, I just want to thank Federal Highway and FTA and the staff for kind of making all this possible, all the work that was done before the meetings today, up to tonight's meeting. And, you know, we'd be happy at this point to answer any questions about the planning process, about the draft plan, or any other transportation issues, you know, to a minimum, Bill, any other transportation issues. But with that, I'll open it up to any comments or questions.
Bill, you're muted.
Can't hear you, Bill.
You need to unmute.
Oh, pardon me. There you go. Hear me now. I thought I hit the unmute. Section 4.4 on safety, I think it's page 12. Three charts seem to be the same on that page. I don't understand why they're duplicated.
No, that's actually that is an error that the tables were. It's in the works to be fixed for the next version of the draft.
Okay. And as for Carmen, I do read these plans. I'm thinking of the money that President Biden is hoping to put into infrastructure. It'd be nice if we had blueprints ready to go or something for at least four at-grade crossings to be fixed, that would really speed up traffic in our AMAS planning area. The bike program we've had people come to the CIC, and I think that's doing good. We're supporting people who want to bike around or bike on trails. Let me see, what's the other one? AMATS has put some really good ads in the Akron Beacon Journal to notify the public that we're having these meetings. So that's getting it out that way for those of us who still read newspapers. That's it.
Thank you.
We discussed all of those topics pretty much, with maybe it's an exception of one of them this morning. But again, you know, that's why it's so critical that the plan be comprehensive and looking forward as much as possible with the realities of funding and the other constraints that we have, because you want to be ready to go, because you just never know what an opportunity might come up with some legislation.
Well, that's why I was thinking way back when we had some, what was it, shovel-ready plans, and we got the Steele's Corner crossing in. And so if we have some other plans that are just waiting funding where everything else is ready to go, we could increase the traffic flow over some of these railroad grades, railroad crossings.
Yeah, and I think especially with the railroad crossings too, I think it becomes almost more so even the safety issues that we have. I think in Barberton, actually, we had a fatal crash there fairly recently, correct, Dave?
Yeah, in the past year, I think. Yeah. Hey, Bill, I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, you say you have four grade crossings you'd like to see separated. Do you mind if I'd like to know what those four are? I can think of two right offhand, but what are your four?
Should I send you an email?
If you want to.
I'll do it that way.
Okay. I'm just curious. I can think of a couple.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
Yeah, I know there are two in Hudson that they've pursued on and off. There's the one in Barberton, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the issue at Cuyahoga Falls, but I don't, and Broad Boulevard, I don't know what you do.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can speak to that. You know, we've looked for 20 years about separating that grade crossing, and we would have to go east, at least half a mile before we could land, because we would have to not only go above the tracks, but we would have to take Broad above the expressway as well. Mm-hmm. And so now we're building a bridge that's probably as long or longer than the Portage Trail Bridge, which is immediately to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, taking out quite a bit of our historical downtown. And it just that's why it's not done yet, right? If it was easy, it'd be done by now.
Yeah.
Curtis, sorry I got booted here. I had some technological difficulties, so
no worries.
Apologies. Hey, I saw that you were talking about the priorities before I got booted off the screen. You had about 10. The Metro, the bus rapid transit system with Metro, are you able to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, so Metro RTA is pursuing BRT. You know, they have not per se picked a corridor, I think, like, you know, to the level of designing which corridor that would be or which route that would be. You know, they've kind of identified, I want to say it's between like 6 and 8 different potential corridors. And then some of the efforts underway are going to be to dig deeper, working with the city of Akron, potentially city of Barberton when we look at that like Romig Road area and further south, and trying to identify, I think, you know, getting down to that, what's the first chunk or what's the first bite of the apple that they're going to take. So at this point, I don't think anything's been decided or, you know, in terms of which one they're leaning towards. Because like I said, it's such a big undertaking. And one of the things that we've said a lot is that, you know, Metro RTA can't build BRT by themselves, like, because they need the community to be there. It's got to be hand in hand. And so I think, you know, for them, it's like, it's great that they're leading the process, but whether it's the city of Akron, you know, which is more than likely is going to be a part of that, you know, the city's really got to be completely bought in and ready to go with that side of it as well. And so I think that's what the, you know, we had worked right before the pandemic, Trevor, we were meeting very frequently on BRT with the city and with AMATS and Metro RTA. And then the pandemic, because, you know, all the ridership drops and everything, it just kind of put a pause on it. And now within the last couple months, I think Metro RTA is kind of gearing back up towards moving forward on that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about the city having to be on board, not only from a, not only approaching it from the standpoint that they want BRT, but also from how to plan out land uses, right? And contribute to the ridership. So we're actually about to undertake a RFP to revamp our zoning code.
Oh, nice. Going form-based?
We are.
Awesome. All the way, or would this be for a downtown district?
You know, we're still trying to explore that. But, I mean, the funny thing about Barberton is I think we're unique. I mean, like Akron and a few of the other communities, I think our last parcel that was developable, that remained undeveloped, just recently went to a planning commission to become developed. So we're talking that we're fully built out, and I think form-based code works better in those situations.
Yeah.
So I think we're unique in the sense of the rest of the communities in Summit County other than Akron. There probably aren't too many. Cuyahoga Falls, maybe a little bit. There aren't too many communities, you know, that have a limited development palette there. So.
Yeah. No, that's actually really exciting, and I'll be curious how that goes. I mean, because, you know, Akron's looked at doing that too, like revamping their zoning code, but it's such a mammoth undertaking when you're working with code that was written 75 years ago.
Yeah.
Or more.
Ours is a bit newer. I think it was 1996, which is
really? Did Fred do that? Was that Fred Guerra? Was he in Barberton then?
Yeah, he was. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that era well.
Yeah. I covered him. By the way, Tony is retiring at the, like, is he retired now?
Tomorrow's his last day. There's cake at City Hall from 12 to 1 for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, no, that's great, Trevor. And I think, we'll be following that because I think that'll be pretty exciting if you guys are able to convert to form-based code.
Easier said than done, right? So.
Yeah. And just wait till the residents catch wind of it.
Zoning's the best topic with your citizenry. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. Lots of questions.
Yeah, obviously. Any other comments, questions, or concerns?
Well, speaking of new developments, we have the Chapel Hill Mall, which has now been rezoned, I guess is the right word. They're going to put businesses in there. I know the buses still go by there. So I guess there's plenty of parking.
Yeah.
So that might increase traffic flow along Britton Road and Route 8 through Cocker Falls again. That's a pop up like within the past 12 months that now we have to add into the plan and see who moves in there and how many jobs are opening. Just like what Akron out there on what was it, Rolling Acres Mall?
Yeah.
The one that's now converted to Amazon. So, yeah, you got to stay mobile, ready to handle these things.
Yeah, Tony. Do you? I'm assuming Cuyahoga Falls is, very excited about the prospect of that parcel in Chapel Hill being redeveloped or repurposed. I mean, I think everyone knows that. I mean, the mall was. Being able to avoid the Rolling Acres for that mall, I think, was pretty critical. And I think we're all thrilled that looks like we've avoided that.
Yeah, certainly. The history of Cuyahoga Falls is that the mall was the demise of our downtown. And so now we've rebuilt our downtown. And so if the mall can be repurposed for commercial, I think that's great because we have the restaurants and the other businesses along Howe that can support that and can be supported by that development. And we don't think that our downtown will be affected negatively by this redevelopment. And so, what's great about your plan, you rewrite it every 4 years, but what's great about it is that it does have the flexibility to be reactive to the things like this. As Bill said, this has come up now that you're in the draft mode. But the plan is such that, we're doing some work at Barney's, and we can continue to do that based on, basically seeing the barometer of what's going to happen there at the mall. And so we have a plan right now for Barney's, but that plan might change depending on how strong development occurs there at that parcel.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, that whole corridor, that whole area of streets that I think have kind of, some of them, especially on Akron's side, have fallen a little bit in disrepair. I'm hoping that helps just kind of revitalize that pocket because I think the retail has maintained a pretty strong foundation there. It's just that, once you got past, what is that, Cliff, whatever that street is with the, what street is that?
Cliffside?
Yeah, Cliffside. Like once you get past that, all of a sudden it starts to, kind of degrade a little bit. So I think that's pretty exciting. But, Carmen, was there anything else on your end before we wrap up here?
I do not have anything that I haven't said already, but I will ask Mark from... Mark Kane from FTA, do you have any additional comments at this time?
Not at this time.
Excellent. Tony, Trevor, Bill, thank you so much for taking the time. It does really mean a lot to me personally, as well as I think the staff. It's nice to have you guys here and talk about things. And And then I guess Carmen and Mark, we will see you guys tomorrow morning.
That is correct.
Have a great night.
All right. Well, thank you all very much. I really appreciate it.